And I believe the Spirit of the Lord has laid something upon my heart today that we need as a nation. Going to be preaching a message entitled "When a Nation Forgets." Folks, we need to return to prayer. I love to preach on grace and amazing grace and happy sermons, and God is so good. He has been so good to this nation and this country. But there's some things that are going on that is really mind-boggling. Some things that you never dreamed you would ever see or hear in the United States of America. And I think when I was in the second grade, and I remember how that every morning we would all stand and quote the Lord's Prayer. And then we would turn to the flag in the corner and put our hand over our heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance. They said that there were some folks, actually our vice president was saying it and left out the words "under God." There was a group that wanted to take those two words out of our Pledge of Allegiance. You may not have to take the words out for it to be so. When a nation does not consider the gifts of God, it will remove itself from those two words, "under God." See, God is all about life. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God has given us everything that pertains to life. When he created man, the Bible said he breathed his breath into his nostrils and he became a living soul. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God wants you to have life, and he wants you to have it more abundant. He wants you to have the best life that life has to offer. God wants you to have the gift of life. He wants you to have the access of life. He wants you to have all of the things that pertain to life. But when a nation forgets, and I watched a debate, and to hear somebody running for the highest office in this land, of supposedly the greatest nation in the world, and it's something to know that it happens, but to actually hear it from their lips, and they actually speak, and they are seeking to be the president of the free nation of the United States of America, of the nation that fought for life and to hear and see their lips moving, knowing what we were born into and what we grew up in, and to actually hear them make the statement. And I'm running on this premise that if I am president, I will allow women to kill the baby up to the day that it is born. That totally blows my little mind. I cannot comprehend it. I cannot understand where it's coming from. You see, when a nation forgets, I believe that we are suffering today from spiritual and national amnesia. In Isaiah in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, the Bible talks about, "Oh, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, and my people doth not consider. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they have gone away backward." If I'm seeing anything, it looks to me like we're going away very backward. When I was in the first grade, I knew which restroom I was supposed to go to. I mean, we have gone away backward. When you look at the abortion, 510,000 babies were aborted the first 6 months of this year. They're being aborted at more than a million a year. Since Roe versus Wade, over 62 million babies have been killed. And we're saying that it's okay to have them partially born. And it is amazing to me, when a baby is born, it comes out head first. They say it's crowning when the head is coming out. And the baby is born, but with partial birth abortion, and most people don't even know it, don't even have a clue. They just hear those words, and it just is abortion to them. They don't understand, but the baby is even born backwards. He or she is extracted out, and the only thing left inside is the head. And what the Spirit has shown me, that's why they allow it to be killed with the head not out yet, because there is some maternal emotion that God put in a woman. And if she hears a baby cry, it's almost like they have to pick it up. They have to try to do something to comfort it. And so what they're telling us, even Pharaoh's daughter, when she heard little Moses crying in the flags of the Nile River, couldn't help but go in and rescue the little Hebrew boy. I'm just stopped by here to tell you, the only thing that is telling me is that you can go ahead and murder the baby as long as you don't let the mama hear the baby cry. And they place a sharp object at the base of the skull, and they suction the brain, and when the head is brought out, the baby is dead. Let's look in Proverbs in chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19. The Bible says that there are six things that the Lord absolutely, positively hates. Yea, there are seven. Just thought of another one. Our abomination unto him. Number one is a proud look. Now, we don't have any politicians that have a proud look. Number two is a lying tongue. Oh, thank God that the politicians don't lie. Amen. And hands that shed innocent blood. Number three, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. You see, murder is when you kill an innocent human. You got me? It's not when you kill an animal. It's not when you kill someone that needed an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. The definition of murder is when you kill an innocent human. And I just came by here this morning to tell you that there'll never be a more innocent human being ever brought upon the face of this earth than a little baby who has never had a chance to mess a diaper or wake up mama and daddy at 3 o'clock in the morning and never done one wrong thing in all of its existence, except there was a conception and somebody decided, I don't want it, I can commit a murder. But when a nation forgets, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Got a double hit on that lying thing. He must have known something was coming down the tube. In Isaiah 26, verses 15 through 21, I want to read, thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited me. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them, like a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pang. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, and we have been in pain. We have brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance from the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. The dead men shall live together with my dead bodies shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors upon thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. I just wanted to tell you something. You see, they want to make sure that the mama doesn't hear the voice of the baby. But I want to explain one little quick thing to you. We heard Brother Ken preach last week, and he talked about the blood is speaking up for us. The blood is speaking out for us. God came to talk with Cain, and he had killed Abel. He said, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the earth. I want to tell you something, friend. They might stop the voice from being heard by the mama and from the people that are around them, but they'll never stop the blood from being heard by God Almighty, the giver of life and the creator of life. Hallelujah. Heart, spiritual amnesia, that's when you can't remember. He said, my people cannot remember. National anemia, that's when you get a blood deficiency. In verses 5 and 6, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Do you ever feel like it's fainting? You know, I walked around this morning and it was such an awesome morning this morning. And I'm thinking, God, can I just preach something happy? It's such a beautiful day, but sometimes we need to be reminded of what we've forgotten. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In other words, there is a weakness. There is a limitation. It's like, you know, when this nation flaunts its greatness and we refer to other nations as though they don't have the strength and the power and the determination that this United States of America, just for one other little note, this country never lost a war until August 15th, 1973, whenever we ended our conflict in Vietnam. You see, that was the first war that the United States didn't win. But you see, on that same year, on January the 22nd of 1973 is the date that they passed the Roe versus Wade and allowed the babies to be killed. And to be totally honest with you, I don't think this country has won another war since. You're seeing some weakness. In Revelation 17, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, all of you Bible scholars, and they talk about this as nations that are actually committing fornication, actually getting together. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Oh, the beast represented blood, amen, that she was seated upon. And I read a book on abortions. I know I keep going back to that. And the woman that wrote it and told about how horrid it was had her own clinic, and she called herself the Scarlet Woman, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I don't mean he was admiring, he was in shock. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. In other words, it's just hard to tell where they are, how long they've been there, where they came from, or where they went. But the Bible says they still exist. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And now there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and another is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. This is talking about the seven great nations, talking about the nation of Egypt, and then the nation of Assyria, and then the mighty Babylon, which represented the head of gold in Daniel's prophecy, and then Medo-Persia, which represented the arms and the breast of silver, and then Alexander the Great, and the Greeks who represented the loins of brass, and then the Roman government, the Roman Empire, which is the legs of iron, and then the other that is to come is going to be the iron and the clay of the feet, which is going to be the revised Roman Empire that is yet to come. These are the things that are being revealed to us through the scriptures. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. and the beast that was and is not, and even though he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goeth into perdition, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast, and these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I told you, if the elephant and the donkey lets you down, the Lamb is going to be the victorious one when this thing is all over. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horde sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are rich through the abundances of her delicacies. I just wanted to just come by here and let you know, it says that there is a mystery of Babylon in the beginning of what I read to you, and at the end of it, Babylon has fallen. I just want you to make sure that you understand exactly who Babylon is. John the Revelator may not have understood the names that were present, but Babylon today is the nation of Iran, in case you're wondering what's going on. But I never dreamed in all of my years that the United States of America, with all of its power, would be the source that causes Iran and mighty Babylon to rise up once again. And while it's screaming death to America and death to Israel, but I just came by here to tell you, there is a Lord of lords and a King of kings, and we can rejoice, because even though it looks like our nation has forgotten God and our nation is falling into weakness, our God is still using the earth for his footstool. There's a verse that says something like, he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. This nation was built upon a belief that we were brought to be by a divine power. George Washington tells the story of when they were going to be overtaken by the British. They had to cross the river. His men tried to send him across first. He wouldn't go. He would be the last one. And he said, suddenly, there came a heavy fog that settled, and the British couldn't find them. Isn't it amazing to go from a nation who God had to hold our hand that we could rise up, to a nation that thinks we can stand and basically spit in the face of that same God? But what happens is there's national anonymity in Isaiah 1:7-9. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. It is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and we would have been likened to Gomorrah. Now, there's something interesting about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's nobody can tell you where it ever existed, because it's totally, they believe that it may be where the Dead Sea is, but it's just gone. You see, when God is there and he is your God, Daniel said, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. When we forget God and we don't care, we become weak. I promise you, friend, there's something going on in this nation. We're being consumed with quite a few lies. You know, there were great nations. Where is mighty Egypt? Where is Assyria? Where is Babylon? The only rise she's going to get is because the United States of America is empowering her to get everything she needs to be represented, just like I just read to you in Revelation 17. You see, it becomes, where's Greece? Where is that great city, the Persians? Where Alexander the Great died a drunkard because there were no more worlds for him to conquer. How would it be to be so great that you had conquered the world? Then that great Roman Empire built upon seven hills. They said because of its positioning, no one could ever defeat the Roman Empire. Well, it's not a whole lot now. Just a bunch of arenas. We're sitting there and we're propping up people. A woman said the other day that they made her and her children watch them as they put her husband in a cage and lower him into the water and drowned him in the right before their eyes. And we're kind of offering assistance to this kind of acts. Your greatness. One thing we have is a right to vote. I'm not propping up candidates, but I'm just telling you. The vote that you make may not change the destiny of the nation, but you've got to consider the content of your heart. I'll tell you what they could do with me. They could throw out the economy. They could throw out everything we got up there. They could throw out all of the different things that they're running on. They could have one issue with me, and that's murdering these little babies. And that would be all I needed to vote on. If you think they should live, I vote for you. If you think they should die, hell will freeze over before I put a vote for you, because I still have a little bit of content in my character. I know this is tough, y'all. You think it's tough on you, it's real tough on me. But I'm not going to leave you without a national answer. Verses 10 through 20. Isaiah chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. This is people that have gone away backward. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of assembly, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment. Now remember that judgment in God's eyes, when he judges you through his love and his goodness. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. Would you stand with me? See, God wants you to have the best life. I really believe that. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you. You have to understand the King James Version of all this is God's not against you. This day is just a day for you to reckon. And set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Thou and thy seed, that's the babies. God refers to them as seed that produces. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy father, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Wow. Wow. I set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. And then he says, choose life. Would you say that with me this morning? Choose life. God wants you to have the blessing, the life. And he said, it's really up to you. All you've got to do is love God, obey his voice, cleave to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Isn't that awesome? How many in here this morning you want to have a great life? There's been some questions. You've had some struggles. I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning, church. I know this has been really heavy. I am as weighted as I've ever been. But it was something about this nation that I've grown up in that I learned to love and to have had the privilege to travel to Africa and India and Mexico and all of these other countries, and to think how awesome this country is in which we're living, and how blessed we are, and how blessed we've been. I always would tell everybody when I was over there that I've seen some beautiful places, and usually it's that field right in front of the little country house where I live in. Because when you get there, every time I would leave one of these countries, I'd say, if I ever get back to the United States of America, I will never complain another day in my life, because this country is so great. I'm going to ask you to come with me up to the front, and we're going to have a prayer for our country. We're going to have a prayer for this election. I love this country. I love the God of America. I love the God that our founding fathers, I love the schools that I was privileged to grow up in. I am so thankful for a little lady, little white-haired, gray-haired lady who had her little class to stand up every morning and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." Amen. And then I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Say it again, under God, with liberty and justice for all. This nation was built upon the three word premise: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let us pray, church. Father, I don't know what election cycles can really do. We believe and assure that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Father, there is a passion and a burning desire in the hearts and souls of these people this morning for life to be exalted and be the gift, not that we destroy. Father, we do love you. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. We're not in any way implying that this nation is not a great place and an awesome gift that you gave to us. But Lord, it does seem that it's going in the wrong direction. And it's our prayer that the eyes of the leaders would be open to see the greatest gift that has ever been given to man is the gift of life. And what makes that the greatest gift is because it's through that life that we came to know the greatest love ever been offered to a people. And it's the love of God. I love you, Lord. And God bless America. You are dismissed.